Live here on YouTube, I'm Thomas Frank Carr, Nate Bauer. He is our basketball insider. Breaking news within this hour, Micah Shrewsbury is headed to Notre Dame. So, Nate, fill everybody in on the situation from broad strokes. And then, of course, we're going to break all of this down from top to bottom as the premier insider for Penn State basketball. We're going to go through a lot of different details here, but broad strokes for people just watching, just finding this out. What happened with this situation?
Micah Shrewsbury got an offer to be the head coach at Notre Dame, and he took it. So, it took a little bit of time, right? I think that we officially started. Now, obviously, there are larger topics that we had been talking about throughout the season for Penn State. But in terms of an actual coaching change, will he leave? I want to say that that goes back maybe a week and a half, really, that it's been kind of immediate. And so, based on some of my understandings and some of the other reports that have surfaced this afternoon, really became after Penn State lost in the NCAA tournament on Saturday, right? So Penn State lost on Saturday. They got back in the State College really, really early on Sunday morning. They left Saturday night from Iowa. You have Sunday, Monday, Ed Cooley's name starts to surface with Georgetown. And it was an unofficial domino falling type of sequence, right? You had the first name off the board. Micah had been attached a little bit in terms of a buzzy destination for him. So that cleared the runway a little bit, right? Is Penn State had been trying to work out an extension with Micah, had not come to an agreement previously to that. And so, yeah, Monday afternoon, first reports kind of surfaced that Micah's name is really shooting up the charts for Notre Dame. Yesterday, Tuesday, kind of silence in terms of official reporting. Obviously, I had quite a few updates on our message board at Blue White Illustrated. And then today, it was just kind of a waiting game, right? You're just trying to figure out exactly what's going on, where they are in negotiations. These things are never straightforward, right? There's offers, there's counter offers, there's back and forth. Penn State was making an earnest attempt to keep Micah Shrewsbury now, right? Like they were doing what they could to make it a very appealing and compelling offer. But ultimately, right, Notre Dame won out for Micah, and Penn State's looking for a new head coach.
One of the things that you've talked to me about is really this is all in his head. Like, there's not a whole lot of leakage from him in terms of how this has gone down, in terms of what's important, which way is he leaning, some of the inside stuff to keep you on track of 50% this way, 49% the other, right? Can you tell us what the deciding factors were, if you have any inclination, or what was, at least to your understanding, what were the deciding factors if Penn State's making an honest effort and Notre Dame wins out? Do you have a sense of what those were that maybe tipped it away from Penn State, where, if I could characterize the way you were feeling a little bit earlier this week, more optimistic that he would stay than go, but still very much up in the air? So first off, is that correct? And then what are those factors that went back and forth?
Yeah, I think it was, look, this is very simple and very complex all at the same time. The very simple answer is Penn State didn't have its act together with NIL. It was a complaint. You were on the show, on the podcast. It makes me blush a little bit to have been the genesis of that in terms of the public conversation about it.
Yeah.
But this had been a complaint within Penn State basketball for quite a while before that. Right. Like it just took until December when we had Micah on the show to really get it out in front and say, hey, Micah, where's NIL? Where is it at for Penn State basketball? And his answer was extremely revealing, right?
Yeah.
Penn State is 14th, maybe 13th, but probably 14th in the Big Ten in terms of its NIL infrastructure, its NIL support for Penn State basketball. And so there's just a lot to wade through and a lot to dig through in terms of Micah's not a rah-rah guy, right? Like James Franklin, when he was complaining about NIL, it was out in front. It was yes. like front and center from the entire time. It was, this is not where it needs to be. Like very bold. He was aggressive about how he wanted to talk about that.
Okay. Wait, did you say bold and aggressive?
I did. whereas Micah just didn't. That's not who he is. That's not how he treats these things. And so what was beneath the surface, right? Like what peaked out a little bit there in December beneath the surface the entire time, and then entirely after that, was a burning fire, right? Like
right. It
was a burning fire that Penn State just never really got a handle on.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know,
so let me stop you there. And I don't mean to play the blame game, because this yep. is always how it goes, is like, so whose fault is it that
sure.
things never got going? But like, where does that start? Is that with interest in the program? Is that from an infrastructure standpoint of NIL? Or is it some combination therein? Was there control over this? And was there oversight that was, or a lack of oversight to get these things in order? How did that part play out where Penn State is now, they had to go down to the wire with Notre Dame?
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of those. It's a combination of those things, right? It is... an understanding of what it takes to develop relationships that can create giving, right? Look, there's going to be different arguments that are made about this, where Penn State did raise money. Penn State got after NIL down mm-hmm. the stretch. Okay. It was able to put together a decent package for Penn State and for, its NIL offerings.
Yeah. So one of the things that I'm wondering about in terms of the NIL package is, this is something that's going to not go away. So, you know, we'll get to the Micah Shrewsbury part here in a second, but folding it forward as well, what is the future also a problem here in this situation? So how does all that bleed into the next coaching searches? We have people in the chat here. We're live on YouTube. Throw your thoughts in the chat as well. We have yep. people in the chat here saying like, oh, here we go again. Is there anything to take from this?
Yes, there's a lot to take from it. It is a failure on the front end to have been ready for NIL in the first place as an institution. Bottom line, okay? Mm-hmm. Under Sandy Barber's leadership, it just was not, it did not have the importance, and maybe she didn't know, you know, maybe she didn't understand how it would evolve and what it would be, but the reality was Penn State from the get-go was trying to thread a needle of handling NIL differently from everybody else, right?
Right.
Of having I would call it a moral superiority to it.
Like right.
This right. notion that it should be this essence of the game and purity of college athletics, when what was actually happening was the walls and the barriers to getting players their fair worth and their fair share and a fair opportunity as dictated by the Supreme Court of the United States.
Right.
That was removed. Right. So it was like, you cannot have it both ways. And so it starts with Sandy Barber. It starts with the reaction and the response of Penn State's donor class, right?
Yep.
To not be on board, to not understand, to not grasp, but frankly, It continued. Mm-hmm. It continued through Pat Kraft's leadership and how they took hold of the program in terms of, look, he understood, and I don't think that there's any argument about this. Football has needs, and football has things. It is the engine of Penn State athletics. No debate. But the reality for Penn State throughout this is that football's NIL was a disaster.
Yep.
So was everybody else's. And when you have your top two sports who are trying to compete on a national, and when I say top two sports, I understand the wrestling fans that are out there, like top two sports in terms of revenue generation. These are your economic engines.
This is a business decision because this is a business conversation because sports are a business. As much as this is the I'm sorry part, but sports, this is, they have a budget, they have a business, they need to make money and they need to generate revenue. So this is not about the esprit de corps. This is not about the greatness factor. It's about the dollars and cents. When it comes to Pat Kraft, you mentioned Pat Kraft here.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise that Micah Shrewsbury's contract was in a situation where he needed a renewal. As you've mentioned before, when it comes to coaching contracts, they're not face value. So a 10-year contract isn't a 10-year contract. Correct. Shrewsbury's contract, everyone knew he needed to get a new deal, and it came down to the last minute. So why?
Yeah, it got there because there wasn't, and again, I mean, let's just go back to December, right? This is in the middle of the season when negotiations had already started in earnest on this. Okay. So it just the parallels to football are so striking. This is such a drawn out process. Like contracts just don't happen. They don't happen overnight. They're months long deals where it's jockeying and back and forth about what the needs are and so on and so forth. And Penn State and Micah Shrewsbury believe that they had an excellent product this season. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was reflected on the court. I mean, certainly the end game was that, but what I see from the outside is a misunderstanding or a misjudgment of one, how good Penn State could be, what the offers would be for Micah on the backside of it. Yeah. And an underestimation, right? A saying, hey, here's what we have to offer. We think you're going to be happy with this. We promise we'll get the NIL in order. Okay.
Like promising, a pinky promise, like the League of Extraordinary Pinky Promises between the three power schools that weren't going to get into NIL the same way, and that has gone completely kaput, like same promise. And that's, I think, part of this conversation is we promise we'll get NIL in order. And it's like, yeah, I promise I'll change. But sometimes, ladies, the guy never changes. So, like, you know, I don't want to spin the story forward just yet because there's more to talk about with Micah Shrewsbury and how this has ended. But that is a huge part of this. Is this going to change for basketball at Penn State? Can they be taken seriously? Because as somebody on my Twitter, when I tweeted out the link to this video, said it's okay. The last time they made the tournament, their coach left for Navy. So this is different. But for fans, you can point to a pattern of behavior and a pattern of value. And so Pat Kraft, going back to that comment he made, somebody asked him, can you win at basketball and can you keep Micah Shrewsbury? Some version of Micah Shrewsbury's contract, can you keep him? And he was adamant that the answer was yes.
Yep.
From what I remember.
Yes.
So is this, he's very early in his tenure.
Yeah.
Is this a huge misstep on his part? Like, is this a huge whiff? And how do you deal with that? Knowing that I don't know anything about basketball, but that's a very good coach. Yep. That is a very, very good coach that just left.
Yep.
So how do you square that with his tenure at Penn State? And does this reveal some things that take the shine off of the new AD Apple, who came in saying all the right things, being the right person, and now we have some of the businesses happening, doesn't feel as feel good right now?
It's complicated. Right. Because today, right now, it's a huge misstep. It's massive. In terms of the health of Penn State basketball, it's colossal. Okay. Ask me that in 3 weeks when I know who the next hire is. Right. Ask me that. Like, this is, it will evolve. It will. It has already evolved in terms of how competitive they were able to be and what they wanted to be in terms of what the offers ended up being for Micah, right? Like that's a huge part of this, is to say, hey, this is what you know, we were willing to do. This is how far we were willing to go down the stretch. It just, I'm just going to, like, I'm not sure that I'm saying it clearly enough. And I think in a little way I'm hedging on this. The error was in December.
Right.
Right. The missteps weren't this week or last right. week. The meltdown and the issue with this is that a rift formed, a problem existed that did not exist previously, when the concerns and the issues that Penn State had with its NIL were just not taken seriously enough, period. They were not taken seriously enough. And if you're a head coach and you have established that the people who are in charge of helping you, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not, this shouldn't be a contentious relationship. It should be, right. Hey, how do we get there together? How do you free my opportunity to be an X's and O's guy? Right.
Yep.
I mean, he's such a good coach. You see that. You're willing to see that. But what good coaches like that don't want to do is spend their time trying to figure out marketing.
Yes.
And donor relations, like all of those things are things that should be right in the wheelhouse of athletic administrators.
Yeah.
And not just athletic administrators, but also the collectives that they partner with, the businesses, like all yep. of those things needed to be addressed. They needed to be treated with urgency, and they weren't. And here you are.
Yeah. I'm Thomas Frank Carr. He is Nate Bauer. He is the premier basketball insider for Penn State Hoops. We have the Penn State Hoops Show, which comes to you wherever you get your podcast. We're here live on YouTube breaking down Micah Shrewsbury's decision to go to Notre Dame. Many of you may have seen that already. Here for the information about the why behind it, not just the fact that it happened. A couple things in the chat here, and I'm going to get to this question. Nick P says he's the best basketball coach Penn State has ever had. Nate, you know far more than I do. Is that at least in the ballpark of accurate?
I think it's super early to have
okay.
to be at that place. I think that, believe it or not, like Ed DeCellis was an excellent basketball coach. Could he do all of the other things? Could he wear all of the other hats? Look, I'm not going to go down this road, but head coaches are as successful as the people around them. Programs are successful as the people that are around them. Mm-hmm. And so it requires so many different things, but is he a phenomenal in-game coach and a savvy, relatable guy with the media? Personable, all of those things. Yes.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. It is a tremendous loss to Penn State basketball that he won't be the head coach for them next year.
Yeah. Let's hammer this home just a little bit more, Nate, that NIL is the conversation here, because there is this, I think, defensive mechanism, this reflex of he's an Indiana guy, and Aaron yep. says he wanted to go home. That way outweighs anything. Yep. What outweighs anything, Nate, is he wants to win.
Yes.
He wants to win basketball games.
Yes.
And this decision tells me that Notre Dame made the better pitch of, hey, you can win here, than yep. Penn State made a pitch of, hey, you can win here. Because NIL, as much as it is upsetting the apple cart, it is a legitimate thing that can help you if you're Penn State, if you can provide the yep. resources necessary to get players their adequate value, then being in state college isn't as big of a deal. Like yep. this is the kind of the way the NBA and the NFL work. Is like, you don't need to be in New York City to be a star. You yep. are on television. You are marketable. And it's a smaller scale for sure in college. But if you've got NIL, and if you don't have NIL, you cannot recruit. And that is basically what Micah said on the show when
yep.
he was with us earlier this year. You could check out that video in our YouTube channel here on Blue White Illustrated's YouTube channel. But like, it's not about going home. It's not about Penn State had no chance. This is NIL, 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 NIL. I built a graphic for it. Where is it? It's all about NIL.
Look,
I needed this 5 minutes ago.
Were there other things about going back to Indiana that would have been appealing to him or that are appealing to him? Absolutely. One, it's a more natural recruiting territory for him. He's more comfortable in the Midwest. He's from the Midwest. He spent his most of his adult life there outside of his time in Boston, right? Mm-hmm. So that contributes to it, okay? But I do think that it is a falsehood, right? Like, it's just, you're convincing yourself of something that's like just distracting from the reality, right?
Yes.
Right. Which is Notre Dame. And there's other things that go into this for Notre Dame side of things, right? Notre Dame had this massive backlash from football and its offensive coordinator hiring that I think played a part in how strongly they wanted to rectify the perception that they were not willing to pay and generate and get behind their sports. Right. Right? Like they wanted to fix that. And right. So yes, they got all of the way and got to the area and the ballpark that they needed to from a compensation standpoint, right? Like they prevented money from dissuading him from being right from like that being an appealing job to him. But yep. also, I guarantee this. I do not know this. I'm sitting here and I'm going to say something that I cannot
do
prove.
Do it.
Notre Dame made guarantees for him for NIL.
Yeah.
Promise. They made guarantees of there will be at minimum this amount of money in the coffers every single recruiting cycle so that when it comes time to bringing in the next class of Fighting Irish, you'll be able to do it. You will not be inhibited by this because like that's the whole thing is you can make up for he said this is a light paraphrase of his quote. You can make up for not having the exact same dollar figure match, right?
But like you gotta have something.
But you gotta have something. You cannot have nothing. Penn State today, this minute, has more than nothing, but it's still not enough. And more important than that, it wasn't given the seriousness that it demanded when it was asked on the front side, right? It was the Oakland A's, right? It was, hey, just make the best of what you got. Like, this is what we're going to give you. You got to figure out a way, Billy Bean. Like, get.
So, and he did. And they did. And that's the thing that I think is just from a fan perspective and from a watching basketball perspective, it was fun to watch the creativity of what they did this year. Not saying that it's necessarily all NIL tied together, but like they didn't get big in the portal last year. They had to find a way to do everything the way that they did it. And it clearly, I think Michael Shrewsbury would feel it was unsustainable. So DC XXXX. That's an expounded answer of your question. Do you just want to go back home to Indiana? Appreciate you donating the channel. If you want to do that, be like Stephen Light, who's always here. He's a regular. Holy crap! Can't sleep on Penn State for a minute. More bad news. Breaking news here on the channel. It's been largely positive for Penn State for a while, but this is a setback. And there's a couple questions here in the chat about. Okay, so we've set the table of what happened, how it happened, and why. So next coach, what do you do? How do you unstick this thicket? You know, where do you start?
Great question. Great question. And like, I don't want to sit, I'm not going to sit here and start speculating. Okay. I cannot possibly wrap my head around like the coaching carousel is always moving. There are attractive candidates who are currently coaching or just wrapped up NCAA runs, what have you, that were also rumored for the Notre Dame job. So the notion that they won't be appealing to Pat Kraft, I would think that he will try to swing for a hot, famous, if possible, name.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Do you think that's important? Is that kind of the PR side of this, of get a good basketball coach, but also get a guy with a name saying, hey, I know Micah Shrewsbury, we lost him, but here is something to say that we're serious about this. Do you think that's going to be a part of the calculus for the next coach?
I think that from a perception standpoint, it is. I don't think that it's necessarily important from an execution standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. Like nobody knew about Micah Shrewsbury within Penn State circles before he was hired, right? Mm-hmm. Like, those guys exist. Micah Shrewsbury is out there. And I'm just going to say it. Adam Fisher is the associate head coach at Penn State. He was Jim Larrañaga's second guy for a bunch of years down at Miami. He comes from a winning tradition. He is a Penn State guy. And if you ask around and if you have conversations with who is extraordinarily influential in Penn State's success under Micah Shrewsbury, it's Fish. It's Adam Fisher. Like, he brought Jalen Pickett into the program. Bottom line, he brought Jalen Pickett into the program. He was massively influential in Kerry Booth's commitment to Penn State, right? From a recruiting, from a portal standpoint, he was mm-hmm. very important to all of those elements. Does he have the big name? Like, does he have that name recognition in circles? No, he doesn't. He's not in terms of a casual football fan at Penn State is not going to know necessarily who Adam Fisher is, but you know who does. You know who does? Every single high school coach in Philadelphia, every single AAU handler in Philadelphia. You put that together, there's a powerful, right? Like, he would be, in my mind, an underdog for this job and a viable candidate for it.
So you're saying, if from the chat, what I have is Jay Wright, Coach K, and there's even a I'm looking over here, James Franklin gets a vote in the chat of guys with names who can be the coach for basketball. But you're saying that we should take a look at some internal candidates. And then the next question then is, you mentioned Kerry Booth.
Yeah.
The recruiting class, that momentum, Micah Shrewsbury and this staff had created great momentum. What happens to that now? I know that that's kind of like throwing leaves in the wind and trying to predict where they land, but is this a huge step back from that perspective? Can they salvage some of that? Because this is also, they've got to move quickly here, right? Because the transfer portal is active. You've got to secure your recruiting class. Sharks are in the water. Is all of this salvageable to then continue the momentum that you had from making the tournament and all this good vibes that Micah Shrewsbury had brought to the program with his staff and everything in the structure of what he did?
They do not have a team next year. Currently, today, tonight, Wednesday, they do not have a team next year. Okay. You've lost five guys who exhausted their eligibility, a sixth in Seth Lundy, who is not going to use his COVID year of eligibility, which nobody can blame him. He's been great for Penn State. So he's moving on. That's six. Okay. Dalian Johnson entered his name into the transfer portal. That's seven. I would not be surprised if Caleb Dorsey.
I believe I saw that already, that he was in the portal as well.
Okay. So that's eight. They had a three-man class of 2023. Okay, so 8 minus 3, that's 5. Well, wait a second. One of the three is Micah Shrewsbury's son. He's gone. He's gone. He's not playing for Penn State next year. Okay. That's six. That's six open spots. The other one in that class is Logan Imes, who is Braden's best friend.
Yeah.
So that's seven. And if you can keep Kerry, maybe, right? Like, I mean, there's a foundation there, okay? You do have players. You have solid players at Penn State. I mean, I'm seeing these comments, right? Like, the players are getting behind Adam Fisher, and I think it's for a good reason. It is the most viable way for Penn State. If you are set on momentum and being able to capitalize and not allow this to just bludgeon you and send you back into the dark ages, then he's the guy for that. Bottom line is, he's going to keep Kerry. He's going to keep most, if not all, of the five-man freshman class that was at Penn State this season.
That's critical, right? So Kevin Jai and Kanye Clary, that group signifies a really talented nucleus that you could build around in the transfer portal. And, you know, if you can keep Kerry Booth and some of those, you got to keep some of that stuff. And that is going to be, I think, in the next couple days, that's going to be the pins and needles thing for Penn State basketball fans that want to keep some of these nice things that they have. So we'll leave that to you to suss out all that information over at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. Once again, I'm Thomas Reinkar. That's Nate Bauer, the premier basketball insider for Penn State basketball. He's been collecting all of this information. You've gotten all of this stuff, or a lot of this stuff, BlueWhiteIllustrated.com on the Lions Den message forum. It has one of the longest threads I've ever seen. And it started a week ago, and it's like 37,000 comments long. Nate has been pumping information into the message board so that you, if you are here on YouTube, you'd be in the know ahead of time. So sign up right now. $29.99 is the deal. You get that for access to the premium content from now until next football season. You can sign up for a year as well. Nothing stopping you from going all in on Blue White Illustrated, so you get all the information and you get a lot, just a lot from the guys and what we do. Some last thoughts, because I think we've kind of covered everything. Some last thoughts about going forward. What do you think the timeline for this is going to be? Do you think Pat Kraft will work quickly? And I'm not asking you for names, but like, is this going to be a search, or is this going to be done pretty quickly to kind of cover the wound and rebuild the walls?
That's a great question. I would be surprised if it doesn't take at least a couple of weeks. Like if they just hired Adam Fisher, that would surprise me. I would think, given the stakes, given the perception of this, that he will make every effort to be a viable opportunity, right? For somebody, whether it's a mid-major guy, like one of these hot names, they will try to entice them. Okay. It's just a matter of, is Penn State going to be an appealing destination there? Right. Like, you just lost Micah Shrewsbury because of a story and a background that everybody is going to know, right? That everybody does know that there wasn't.
And reinforces some of the stereotypes about Penn State basketball, which I think is also a problem.
You would think it's not great for Penn State basketball. Yeah. None of that means that it cannot be salvaged, though, right? That they cannot have a path forward that would be successful. There is a reason, again, people are texting me right now. Like there's legit reason why so many people are talking about Adam Fisher. Mm-hmm. Bottom line. So, you know, depending on what happens there and how they approach this, We'll see. But I'm not expecting to have it become a, in a lot of ways, and I know that this is different in a lot of ways. Just seeing these reactions right now reminds me of Deion Barnes, right?
Yep.
You just saw it, is somebody who's super popular, who has the qualifications, who has the team, like they have their support. The issue is the support of some of these guys, Andrew Funk, Cam Winner, Jalen Pickett, they left. Gone. Like they're gone. They can't play next year for Penn State. So he might have their confidence and he might be the right hire. Honestly, he might be the right hire, but you just have to be able to bridge that gap of perceptions with the rest of the administration that he's ready for this job, right? He's a younger guy. But again, I mean, his reputation is impeccable. And it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what Penn State does.
All right. I do think we have to end, though, because we've gotten to this point of the show. Joshua Meyer says we need a new arena. So the Bryce Jordan Center has come up. So everybody drink. And we've gotten down to literally all the things about Penn State basketball. Nate, you're awesome. Thank you so much for doing this. And by the way, thank your wife. Only one interruption from the kids during peak kid hour is super awesome. And I appreciate your efforts tonight on so many levels. So thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me. No kid. Well, just one kid interruption. So we made it. We got through it.
I will do my best for the next time when the coach is hired that we'll have some more fancy graphics for the show. But until then, I'm Thomas Reinkar. That's Nate Bauer. Please subscribe here to Blue White Illustrated on YouTube because we will be on top of all this stuff, any breaking news, any commitments in football, basketball, or any news when it comes to staff hires, things like that. We're all over it here on Blue White Illustrated, and we will talk to you next time there's breaking news.